Do you know what it feels like to fear? I want you to think back. As I was thinking this morning about the times when I have been trembling with fear, most of those I can't tell you about. Because most of those have something to do with some really stupid, sinful decision I made. And I found myself just trembling that my consequences of sin might result in this. Or that my sin might be found out here. Or that it may harm my family in this way. But I do know what it's like to almost be just comatose-like on a sofa. I know you don't think that that's me, maybe with my balance, but I do know what it's like to just feel that lump in your chest. I don't even want to say throat. It kind of sinks down deeper. And when someone like me doesn't want to eat, something's wrong. I wonder what it's like to be at a hospital right now and not know what the future looks like for your husband. I wonder what it's like to want to be the friend that I had this morning who was just so desperate to be in the house of God that he sent a text message to several of us yesterday saying, I want to be there, I want to be there, I want to be there, and today he's not able to be here. Body is absolutely racked with disease and just struggling. What do you fear? God doesn't always take us out of those situations, but he always promises to meet us in them. And today, this is way more than just like a teaching time. This is actually going to be therapy. I don't want to tell you like what you can do when you fear. I actually want to take the Sunday morning time and address those of you today who are fearing, and walk you through the process of how this may help you. So if you want to, on the top of your sheet, you can put an initial so no one can look over your shoulder. What are you fearing most right now? And then how would you walk through it with Christ today? Psalm 46 has an anonymous author. Some think it may have been written during the days of Moses, some during the days of David, some during the days even of Hezekiah. It's got three parts that are divided up by that word Selah, which means like pause, calm, meditate for a moment, think on this. This has become very, very famous as it has become known as Luther's Psalm, Luther's battle song. So if you imagine how fearful one might be when he is standing against the entire known church of his day, and the only thing that is keeping you alive is somehow the mysterious providence of God as he uses different German kings here and there to try to help. But the whole weight of the world is on this guy's shoulders, which is why he then penned, "A mighty fortress is our God." And this is a fortress. You don't need a fortress when you go on vacation. You need a fortress in the heat of the battle when the enemies are coming at you. And that's what I want to try to present to you today, that God today, for those of you who are fearing, is your mighty fortress. I've entitled it, "Who Can Stop the Lord Almighty?" We're going to sing that song later. You can't stop the Lord Almighty. But sometimes we forget that. But today we're going to remember. So I've divided it up into four subtext sections for you. The situation we're in, the temptation we face, the solution, and then the invitation. So that's kind of where we go. Let's walk through the psalm together. Psalm 46, I read to you now. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth gives sway, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though even the mountains tremble, we will not tremble. We will not fear. We're going to pause and think on this for just a second. God is our refuge, kind of like a high tower, a place to flee. God is our tornado shelter if you're from Kansas. Or he's our Masada if you're from Israel. What is Masada? I've never been there, but that movie really grabbed me when I was a young man, as these people defied the Roman hordes as they went up top of this high plateau, this mountain. It's like an island mountain in the middle of nowhere with huge drops on both sides. And on top of the mountain, King Herod had built his palaces. And on top of the mountain, he had built a huge wall. And on top of those walls, he had built huge towers. So you had to make it up the steep mountain. Then you had to face the wall. Then you had to face the onslaught from the tower. This is where you went if you were in trouble. God is my fortress. God is my Masada. And God is my strength. When I finally get to the tower, I don't find weakness there. I find in my tower is my strength. There is God. That's where I want to be in the day of invasion. And he is very present in time of trouble. God is not always interested in saving us from trouble, but he's always present with us in the midst of it. But that's not even good enough for the psalmist. He's very present. I kind of like that. He's really, really there. He's right there in the midst of our trouble. Therefore. Wait, these are the facts. This is the doctrine. This is what we're supposed to know. And it's supposed to lead to some logical effect, some consequence. Therefore, as you freshly meditate on this, we will not fear, though the earth gives way. We have troubles and we need a fortress. We have enemies and we need strength. We're going down and we need help. Yeah, there's trouble everywhere. We have relational trouble here in this church. Some of you are very lonely. Others of you have friends that have betrayed you. Some really want to be married and some don't want to be married any longer. Your marriage is bitter. We have unfaithful spouses, abandoning spouses, abusive spouses. And then we got neighbor issues. We got relational issues. We are troubled generationally. And you can see these on the screen in this chart as you look at all these blocks that I'm getting ready to go through. Generationally, our children are playing the roles of prodigals sometimes, or our own children aren't involved in our lives as we're getting older. We got provisional troubles. Some can't provide. You're underemployed. Your business is failing right now. Some really do lack just the basic necessities of food and adequate shelter. Some have your businesses being taken out from under you by thievery and injustice, maybe on the government's part, maybe on the part of others. Some have mismanaged your funds, or some just have a market correction and now you don't know what's going on with my future. We have troubles ecclesiastically, so you come to church and your elders have let you down. Some have trouble politically. I do. Executive overreach, legislative folly, judicial activism, educational lunacy, and moral depravity. I wrote those words out so I could get them out well. We have trouble internationally. I mean, I don't know what's going on with all these different nations, with China and Iran and Russia and North Korea. I don't know what's going on with the United Nations sometimes, and kind of full-heartedly expect them to set their sights on us one day for something. Terrorism, internal and external. But let's get a little more personal. We have trouble environmentally. In this text, you see, those storms may come, though floods may come, though mudslides may come, those sinkholes may come, though tornadoes may come, though earthquakes may come, though mountains go into the sea. Man, this climate change at its highest, though it's the end of the ages. We get troubled physically with our moral depreciation, our various cancers, Meniere's disease, physical weakness. And I haven't even mentioned yet that which really troubles me. That wretched man on the inside that keeps fighting with me. Somehow the devil and the demons and the world system all combine to tempt that wretched man within, and too often he listens to their call, and I hate some of the bad habits that I have developed and some of the areas where I should be stronger than I am now. But regardless, though the end of days happen, the psalmist says, we shall not fear. We're not supposed to shiver in fear. And then he says, take a moment. breathe, relax, meditate. So I want you to, now just for a second, that's the truth about your God, and that's the truth about how you're to respond. Okay, so we got two camps now. Who's over here saying, I do not fear? And who's over here saying, shoot, I still fear? I'm over here. The temptation. We are so tempted to doubt. And if you see this progression that I'm showing you now, quite often the doubt is the source sin that leads to my fear. Like Adam and Eve were tempted to doubt the goodness of God. Like Lucifer says, you may be holding out on me, God. And they believed that. They doubted. Abraham and Sarah were tempted to doubt that God would come through and impregnate Sarah, as he mentioned. But so therefore, they're both looking at Hagar saying, hey, that's the way out. We've got Moses, who's tempted to doubt, going, I stutter. You got the 10 spies in all of Israel who are tempted to doubt as they have walked through the Red Sea, across the wilderness, and yet are standing on the gates of getting ready to walk in, and they turn back because they doubt. It was Gideon who doubted, which is why he asked for the fleece, because God had already shown up in the form of an angel and told him what he wanted to do. But Gideon was doubting and needed some more confirmation. And all the disciples doubted. And doubt, what happens? Turns into idolatry. Because I doubt that my God knows what is best or is doing what is best or is very present in trouble, I therefore turn to some other idol, some other God. Maybe that new relationship. Maybe I want a new drug, as Huey Lewis said back in the 80s. Maybe it's I need a new job. Maybe it's I need to get out of this relationship. But we have this tendency to turn to spouses, elders, ministers, career paths, even politicians, as we are saying, would somebody help me? Because I'm in trouble, but I'm doubting the goodness of my God in leading me here or in being here with me or in using him. And all I want is to get out of trouble. So I got to find something better than my God, which always leads on the crazy cycle of despair to where when your idols fail you, what are you going to do now? So we fear and we miss out on the joys in life. We hide. We end up saying no to God. We compromise, take matters into our own hands. We shivered. We get depressed. We despair. And that's not abnormal. So I'm asking you, did David fear? Now in this passage, he says, we shall not fear. But in Psalm 56, David writes, be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples on me all day long, an attacker oppresses me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many attack me proudly, and when I am afraid, I trust in you. So David, who wrote Psalm 46, is not in this category of people who never fear. David is in this category of people who fear. So I ask another question. Did the man Christ Jesus fear? Be careful before you answer. He was tempted in all ways as we are, yet without sin. He knows how to sympathize with us because he was not made this hybrid God-man. He was fully God and fully man. And if hunger is something that men encounter, Jesus was hungry but without sin. If anger is an experience or an emotion that we have, Jesus was angry without sin. Jesus was happy without sin. Jesus was troubled in one text of Scripture without sin. And I have no problem saying that Jesus Christ was fearful. He experienced the emotion of fear without sin, which is why he's trembling in the garden before he goes forward. So there's our situation. We're all suffering and we are all troubled. And there's our temptation to fear. What's the solution? Let's now continue reading in Psalm 46 and see where David takes us. And this is why I wish sometimes you knew where I was preaching before you sang the song. Scott has done an incredible job of mining Psalm 46 to find the songs that preach this to you before I even get to preach it to you. Here we go. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. And God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. And God will help her when morning dawns. Yes, the nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Pause and think on this. What's the solution? In the midst of trouble, not outside of trouble, but in the midst of it, there is a fortress. There is a city. There is a community. There is the habitation of God. And it's the place where he dwells. If you go to city center of this habitation, that's where you're going to find God. And he is right there in the midst. And also within the midst is this glorious rushing river breaking off into streams. And that river and those streams are not the horrible waters found without that storm and flood. Those are the peaceful waters found within that rush and make one glad. So you're starting to see, okay, I'm in trouble, but in the midst of my trouble, there is the sanctuary or the habitation of God where he's found and where maybe even the Holy Spirit, like a rushing river, like a river glorious, is found. And there, even though I'm crying from the trouble without, I can have gladness within the city, even in the midst of the onslaught. Well, that city, how firm a foundation. It's not going anywhere. It's on the rock. It's steady. And outside, everything is moving. Storms are blowing, but inside that city, she shall not be moved. And when will God come through? In the morning, early in the morning, after the night season, when he's ready, just keep waiting. He comes through and he helps. And when he comes through, what does God do? Well, the nations, they rage. And the nations, they totter. This is like you with your infant as you're teaching him to walk and he's kind of walking and you see that table where he's getting ready to fall and bust his head. And you're just like, I got to save him because he's tottering. Or like the drunken sailor. Oh, those nations, they wage war, they plot, they totter. And how does God defeat them when he wants to? When he's finally ready, he doesn't even outstretch his mighty arm. He uses his voice. This is very interesting. That voice that caused the universe to come to be, that voice that shook Sinai and made people say, we don't want to go up there. That voice that encouraged Elijah when he was very troubled. The voice of Jesus that said, demons flee or be healed. That voice of Jesus found in the Bibles and the scriptures, which has changed so many lives just by the word of God. God speaks, and the earth he created melts. And if that's what God does with his mouth, what happens when he uses his strong right hand or his outstretched arm or when he picks up the rod and his staff? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Not those enemies, not those nations. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. He said this in so many words, but it's like we got to repeat this. This is good doctrine. This is fact. He is very present. He's in the midst of the city. Lord Sabaoth, his name, which means Lord of hosts is his name. The God of angel armies is his name. And he is with us. He's not with them. So I got trouble. I got enemies. But I have a sanctuary, a place to dwell with him. And there I find help, there I find protection, there I find gladness, even in the midst of the onslaught. Pause. take a moment. Think of this. He then takes us to now the final, the invitation. Let's read together. So what are you going to do, you people who are troubled? Come. Behold our God. Oh, I started too high. Behold the works of the Lord, how he's brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow. He shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Do you see that invitation? I understand your situation. I understand your temptation. Now we've all talked about the solution. What are you going to do with this information? Come. Gather. Assemble. Two or three people are here. You know what that means today? The Lord is present. Yes, he's present with you as you pray with him in your closet, and he's present with you as you walk along the way. But there is a unique presence of the Lord when we gather together in some place as his people. Bring all your troubles here. Come. Glad you're here. This may help you if he wants to. Today, you could have walked in here crying, but even though you're going to leave and still cry, you can still have this gladness and this joy from within, from the Spirit of God, like a river. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord. It's for you as you trust in his word. Fear not, I am with you. Oh, be not dismayed. That amazing grace that saves a wretch like me, that takes your fears and helps you understand that God is there with you. And so we have the invitation, come, behold your God. What has God done by the time this is written? God has already cursed the earth in the garden, flooded the globe with Noah, poured out fire on Sodom and Gomorrah, turned blue water into red blood in Egypt, tore the walls of Jericho down by a parade, stopped the rains, halted the sun, and darkened the earth. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? No one. Look what he has done up to this point, the psalmist is saying. He has booted Lucifer. He allowed Abraham to defeat the kings of Mesopotamia. He allowed Moses to defeat the Egyptians and all the ites in the wilderness. He allowed Israel to defeat the Canaanites and the Philistines. And then the Assyrians have come and gone. The Persians have come and gone. The Greeks have come and gone. The Romans are going to come and go. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? No one. Read the end of the story and see what God's going to do. As you read through that book of the Apocalypse and you see what God did, perhaps as he poured out his wrath in 70 AD, which is also a spiritual picture of how he is going to defeat all the forces of evil one day. Jesus doesn't come back on a donkey. He comes back on a horse. He doesn't come back with a shepherd's crook. He comes back with a sword. He comes back with vengeance. And you don't want to be on the wrong side, because who can stop the Lord Almighty? Absolutely no one. Look at the Lord. Behold our God seated on the throne. Yes, he has allowed you to encounter trouble, but he is here. He's more than here. He's very here. He's present right now. So be still. But notice the change. And know that I am God, the psalmist? No. It's like God is helping the psalmist. Let's pretend it's David. Write this psalm. But God just stops and says, give me the pen. Like, I need to write to these people to help them believe. And so God steps up now, the microphone says, David, stand over there. And he looks at his people and he says, my people, I am your God. Be still and know, I'm yours. You're with me, I'm with you. And I win. I win, I promise. I promise every single nation on the earth is going to bow the knee. I promise I will be internationally exalted. I will be globally worshiped. You're okay with me. The psalmist then takes back up the pen in verse 11 and repeats, This is good doctrine. This is fact. He is very present. He's in the midst of the city. Lord Sabaoth is name. The God of angel armies is by my side. The covenantal God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is my fortress. I am his and he is mine because I'm in him. He's my fortress. And then he ends with a Selah. Pause. And think of this. And so now, remember I told you, you've talked about the situation and our temptation. The solution is to come into his house, behold your God, be still and know him, and wait for his glad river with its tributaries and springs to encourage you from the inside. And maybe he will cause the gates of your prison to break down and he will lead you out, or maybe he will take off your head as he did with John the Baptist. Maybe he will cause you to walk out of the city like he did Paul, or you will be stoned and found dead in the midst of the city like Stephen. Yes, he doesn't lead us out of trouble all the time. He doesn't lead us away from trouble all the time, but he's very with us in the midst of trouble. And so what am I asking you to do? Selah. Be still. Know your God. And come every single Sunday and let us help you carry your burdens.